Well, hello, my friends, and welcome to Hope for Your Heart. This is Pastor Calvin Corbett with Hickory Ridge Community Church, coming to you on the Wednesday broadcast. So glad you're joining us today. And we are well into a brand new year with some brand new opportunities. In spite of unsettledness and in spite of the way that we are living in a chaotic time, God is still in control. Well, in this particular broadcast, I want to kind of do a standalone message, I guess you could say. And I want to talk to you today about missions. What did Jesus do when it came to this matter of missions? Now, if you're involved in a church, more than likely your church is very intentional about supporting missionaries and realizing that the gospel needs to go not only to here in the United States, but also throughout the world. As a matter of fact, in John 17, 18, in the Message translation, it says this, "In the same way that you gave me a mission to the world, I give them a mission in the world." What is Jesus saying? This is his prayer, John 17. It's actually Christ's prayer. It's a prayer of unity. He says that we're going to pray that we will be one with Christ as Christ is one with his Father in heaven. And Jesus says to his Father in heaven, you gave me a mission. My mission was to die for the sins of humanity. My mission was to come and to seek and to save those who are lost. In the same way that you gave me a mission, Jesus cries out to his Father, and I'll give them, that's future believers, a mission. Give us a mission. Now, we have a real issue when it comes to understanding this mission. I think one of the difficult things is that we look at the church and we think that this church is for me, right? They're to take care of my needs. They're to take care of the issues that I think are important, that are make me comfortable. They're to provide for me when I need help. They're to pray for me. They're supporting me, to help me. And all that is true. But all that is not complete. That is not the complete mission of the church. Well, what did Jesus do when it came to this matter of missions? Well, in Luke chapter 10, we kind of discover how Jesus worked and how he sent out missionaries. Now, I'm not going to take time to read those 9 verses, but we're going to cover them as we look at what Jesus did for missions. And first of all, Jesus understood the effort of cooperation. No Lone Ranger mission. He teamed up, right? Luke 10, verse number 1, it says, "The Lord appointed 72 others, and he sent them out 2 by 2 ahead of him to every town and every place where he's about to go." So what did Jesus do? He sent out people ahead that prepared the way for him to come. John the Baptist was the first missionary, really, that prepared the way of the Lord. And now Jesus is on the earth in Luke chapter 10, and he sends out 72 missionaries. And he sends them out 2 by 2. And the reason he sends them out 2 by 2, because he knows it's so easy to get discouraged when you're by yourself. It is much better to have somebody with you. So when you feel a little down, that person can say, "Hey, it's going to be all right. We got this thing." And they can encourage you. So 2 by 2, they went out into every town and every place. And we know this is even true when it comes to this matter of marriage. The Bible says it's not good that a man should be alone. Hey, guys, I want you to know something. You weren't half the man that God intended you to be until you got married. Your wife completed you. She is what made you a whole person. So we learn that Jesus cooperated and he realized that there's no Lone Ranger missions going on here. We're going to team out. He sends out 72. Now, this could be any fellow believer that you go out with and you share the gospel with. Secondly, we see that Jesus expected something to happen with missions. He was not sending them out just on a social gathering, just on a joy trip. They were going out and they were going to trust God. They were to be expected that God was going to take care of their needs. No self-reliance. You were to trust God. Luke 10, 4 says, "Don't take a purse." Matthew 10, 9 says, "Don't take any gold or silver or copper." Mark's account of this mission's sending says, "Take no money in your pockets." In other words, we're going to trust God. Now, Jesus is not saying here, don't be financially responsible. But what he is saying is that when you go out of my name, I am going to take care of your needs. Somebody put it this way. I have never seen God's work lacking when it's done God's way. In other words, God's work done God's way will never lack God's resources. Well, Jesus also, number 3, he told them to simplify. Keep it simple, right? I love that acrostic, K-I-S-S. When I was first beginning ministry, I remember I took a class on hermeneutics, and that is how to put together a sermon, how to deliver a sermon. And one of the things the professor said to us is when you have a sermon, keep it simple, stupid. K-I-S-S, keep it simple. So Jesus simplified things, and he says, when you go, don't take a traveler's bag or an extra pair of sandals. In other words, don't take a bunch of luggage. One of the things I learned about doing missions trips is most people, when they first go on a missions trip, they tend to way overpack. I mean, they get all these suitcases, and you don't need all that stuff when you're on a missions trip. Travel light so that you can move fast. Travel light so you don't have a whole lot of stuff to keep up with. Travel light so even simple things like getting ready in the morning, you don't have to fish through like five different suitcases to find your stuff. Travel light, right? As you're doing God's work, keep it simple, right? Keep it so simple that you can do it quickly. You can do it easily. This is true when it comes to the matter of communicating God's word. It is true when it comes to this matter of traveling. And we're not to go unprepared, but we should travel light. Keep it simple. Here's the fourth thing that Jesus said. Okay, number one, no Lone Ranger ministry. Team up with somebody. Expect God to take care of your needs, your financial needs. Keep it simple. Keep the message simple. Keep what you bring simple. And then number four, Jesus was concentrated. There was no detours. He kept focused. Verse number four, Luke 10 says, and don't stop to greet anybody along the road. Now, this sounds like Jesus is saying, be rude to people, but that's not what he's saying. He is saying to them, you have got a mission. And don't stop to greet everybody on the road, because if you do, you're never going to get to your end goal. Francis Chan, in his book, Crazy Love, said, there was a medical doctor who utilized his skills in Ethiopia for more than 60 years. Nathan Barlow dedicated his life to helping people with mossy foot. Now, mossy foot is a debilitating condition that causes swelling and ulcers in the feet and the lower legs. The subsequent deformity and the secondary infections make people with mossy foot socially being outcast. It's the equivalent of lepers. Francis Chan said, I met Nathan shortly before he died. His daughter attended his church and brought him to her home from Ethiopia when his health started to fail. After being home for only a few weeks, he couldn't stand it any longer. He couldn't stand being in the States. The people that he loved were still in Ethiopia. So his daughter flew him back to his home so he could spend his last days there. Once Nathan got a toothache and had to be flown from the mission field to get medical attention, Nathan told the dentist he didn't want to leave the mission field for the sake of his teeth again, so he had the dentist pull out all of his teeth and give him false ones. This amazing man was the first to help those outcasts, and he spent his life doing it, yet no one really knew about him. It surprised me that such a man of God would faithfully serve for so many years despite minimal recognition. What do you think about giving the message of the gospel? We are to be concentrated on getting the gospel out, not focused on recognition. We have a man that had all of his teeth pulled out and false teeth put in so they would not slow him down from his mission. We see, fifthly, that Jesus also gave some affirmation. He, in essence, says, well, don't just go out there and curse the darkness. Light a candle of blessing. Now, it seems to me that we tend to lean on one way or the other on this, right? Depending on how you are kind of gifted, right? If you're gifted as an exhorter, you like to go out there and curse the darkness. If you're gifted as a merciful person, you always like to light that candle of a blessing. It takes both. Luke 10, 5 and 6, Jesus says, you know, when you enter in a house, first thing you do is you say, peace to this house. And if a man of peace is there, your peace will rest on him. If not, it will return to you. In other words, Jesus is saying you give a blessing to those who are ready to receive that blessing, but you don't give a blessing to those who cannot receive it and will not receive it. You see, as you think about that word peace, anywhere you go in the world of the Arabs, you hear that word peace, shalom. It means I'm blessing you with the peace of God. When you think about this mission that God has given us, it is to bring peace to a world that is lost, a world that is broken. When you look at life and you see people going through difficulties, they're dejected. They're heartbroken. When you look at your life, God has a mission for you. God has a place that He wants you to share the gospel. It was Jerry Vines who said at a pastor's conference many years ago, and he wants us to remember this, and I want you to remember this. I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. That is the mission of our lives. Have you ever seen the face of one who has lost a game? I saw the face in a competition a few years ago of two women who were competing for the gold medal in the standing jump. I'll never forget the look of that pure pain of the losing woman, the face, and how her face just dropped when she lost the gold. Well, she won the silver, yes, but she suffered greatly because she did not win the gold. She didn't win the first prize. So I want you to know that we are to run this race as we're striving to win that first prize. So then when we get to heaven, we don't have to feel dejected. Listen, we only have one life to live, and so soon it's going to be gone, and only what's done for Christ will last. So let us not judge ourselves by others. Let us measure ourselves by Christ. Measure ourselves according to the purpose that He has given to us. Well, Jesus had one other point that He made about this whole matter of understanding missions, and that was there was a time that we need to be strengthened. As we go out, we're going to run low on resources. We're going to run low on energy. We're going to get discouraged. So Jesus put it this way in Luke 10:7. When you enter in a town, don't move around from house to house. Why? That'll wear you down too much. Stay in one place. They didn't have hotels back then. You couldn't spend a night there at the local hotel, so you would stay with other believers. And He said, stay in that same place, that stability factor, that encouragement factor. Don't bounce around all over the place because that will wear you out because you have to pack and repack and unpack and repack, and that just wear you down from going from one place to another. Stay in one place. This is the stability factor. I think it was Adrian Rogers who reminded us many years ago before he went on to be with the Lord, and he was at a pastor's conference, and he was giving a message to us, and he said, listen, as a preacher of the gospel, you ought to go to a church that God has called you to go to, and you ought to minister to that church, and you ought to stay there as long as you can possibly stay there. Go with the mindset that I'm going to stay there until I die. But then he said on the same token, if God causes you to move, be ready to move in 15 minutes. Go with the long-term understanding and ready to be moving out in just a moment. You know, this is what Jesus did. In John 1:14, it says that the Word of God became flesh, and He made His dwelling among us. And John says, we have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only one who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. You know, the number one reason why people miss their mission in life, the number one reason that people miss their mission in life is because they get distracted. They get distracted, and that leads to a delay, and they start thinking of themselves. And as a result of getting distracted, they never get the traction that they need. They always start thinking to themselves, well, I'm going to serve God when such and such happens, and that such and such never seems to quite happen. Or maybe you've gone down that way of thinking, well, I'll start serving the Lord when my health is a little bit better, or I'll start serving the Lord when I have a little more money, when I'm more financially stable, or maybe after I get married, I'll start serving the Lord, or maybe when I finish up school, or maybe when I have the kids, I'll start serving the Lord, and then it becomes, well, maybe when the kids leave, I can serve the Lord, or then maybe when I retire, I'll serve, well, someday I'll do this, and you never quite get around to it, and then all of a sudden, life is over. You see, mission is not something that you do later on in life, after you've done everything else that you've wanted to do. God's mission for your life is what you do now during your life, in the middle of your life. And He says, don't get distracted, don't get delayed. Well, Jesus also reminded them that they had to accept and they had to adopt and they could not compromise. They had to make some accommodations without compromising. We discover that everybody on the planet is really starving for three things. I'm not talking about physical things that they're starving for. I'm talking about the things that they need in order to be well-adapted individuals. You see, everybody is starving to be understood. Everybody wants somebody to take the moment to say, hey, I kind of understand where you're coming from. I get you. Secondly, everybody's starving for encouragement. I've discovered that people need more hope. They don't need strokes. They don't need pokes. They need encouragement. They need somebody to lift them up. You know, there's a whole ministry in encouragement. As a matter of fact, when you think about the fact that God saved you, He saved you with the purpose of giving you a ministry of reconciliation, that is reconciling people who are far from God into a relationship with God. And I can't think of a better way to encourage somebody than entering into a relationship with Christ. And the third thing that everybody is starving for is affection. You see, when we give these three things to a child or a senior citizen or anybody in between, we are actually fulfilling the mission of God. You are blessing other people. You are making accommodations for other people. You are blessing them the way that Jesus would bless them. You give them new opportunities. You give them a touch or a word. And it starts with a blessing. You know, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That is the incarnation. What does that mean? You know, that word incarnation is an interesting word. It comes from the word carne. And if you know your Spanish, you know that carne means meat. Like chili con carne is just plain old chili that there's meat added into it. The same is with the Greek word. Carne means not meat, but flesh. And when we use that word incarnation, it's what Jesus did. God became flesh. God, the Spirit, came in a human body. That's called the incarnation. Jesus became flesh. He became a human being with real skin and real bones. Jesus says, that's the way you minister to people. The thing I love about Jesus is that Jesus didn't just fax in His love. He didn't send it through an email. He didn't send it through the loudspeakers. He came in person. He came in person. That is what God wants us to do. Minister in person. Jesus also understood that great missions is missions that brings about some relief. It begins where people are hurting. You bring about that aleve, right? You get a headache, you take an aleve, and it reduces that headache or eliminates that headache. You know, anybody can be won to Christ if you know the key to their heart. What is the key to the heart that unlocks that door? It's always meeting a need, a hurt, an interest. It's meeting a need that people have. People are hurting. They need healing. When they need a blessing from us, they need encouragement from us, and that comes from meeting a need within their lives. You see, the Bible tells us that Jesus went into every village doing three things. That's all He did, three things. Preaching, teaching, and healing. Now, you're not going to help people like Jesus did, but He did preaching, teaching, and healing. That meant that one-third of His ministry involved that soul preaching, right? Where people are hearing the gospel. One-third of His ministry involved the enlightening of the mind, that is the teaching and the discipleship part of His ministry. And then a third of His ministry involved caring for the body. That is the healing part of Jesus' ministry. You see, Jesus just doesn't care about salvation. He cares about education. He cares about our health. As a matter of fact, Luke 10:9 says, heal the sick who are there and tell them the kingdom of God is near you. Well, Jesus also did something else when it came to this matter of missions. He also mobilized people. Now, how in the world did He mobilize people? He would pray with people, and He would pray that others would join Him. Luke 10, verse number 2 says this. These were His instructions to them. Hey guys, here's what I want you to know. The harvest is great, but the workers are few. Pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest and ask Him to send out more workers for His fields. Praying that others would join in the effort. Mark 8:35 says, if you insist on saving your life, you will lose it. Only those who throw away their lives for my sake and for the sake of the good news, that's the gospel, will ever know what it means to really live. Now, isn't that kind of backwards and upside down in our way of thinking? Because we think if we give our lives to something, we're going to lose our lives. But Jesus says just the opposite. He says if you insist on saving your life, you're going to lose it. The only way to throw away our lives for my sake is for the sake of the good news, and then you will know what it really means to live. You know, I think about David Livingstone. David Livingstone was a tremendous encourager. He was a missionary, and he was a preacher. And I think about his life, and I think about when he climbed into the pulpit of a little church in Scotland. He had honed his sermon. He prepared it so very well. He wanted to be a great preacher. He wanted to give his life to the mission field, and he got up to preach one night, and he was flapping his arms like wings, and he just couldn't get off the runway. He couldn't get his message across. He tried, but finally he forgot his sermon altogether, so he apologized to the people, and he climbed out of the pulpit with great shame. But Robert Moffat, another famous missionary, was there, and Moffat came up to him after the service, and he said, "You can be a great and wonderful servant of God. Why don't you go to medical school? Today, you can't mention Africa without mentioning or being told about David Livingstone." But what would have happened if David Livingstone hadn't run into Robert Moffat, who encouraged him to go into the medical field? And then he became a medical missionary. And God used him as one of the most famous missionaries of all of humanity to spread the gospel throughout Africa. You know, what he taught there is being used throughout the entire world. You think about our world today, there are so many people who are lost, who need the message of hope, the message of salvation, and God has called upon us to be his agents. You know, the Bible is very clear that we are to be men and women who are sharing the gospel wherever we go. That's right, wherever we go, we share the gospel. We have this great opportunity to do it. There's only a short amount of time that is left. I want to encourage you to be men and women who share the gospel wherever you go. Don't worry about your dreams turning into disaster, because when you're following God, he's always going to allow them to come together in a way that honors him, in a way that encourages you. When we think about those who have made sacrifices on our behalf, we think about the fact that they gave their lives so that we could be involved in doing great things because somebody else made a sacrifice for us. Many years ago, there was an echo that was heard around the world. There were passengers that had gathered on a DC-4, and all those passengers on this particular plane on February 15th, 1947, were bound for Ecuador. But that plane crashed into the 14,000-foot-high towering peak just outside of El Tablazo. The plane burst into flames as it dropped into a ravine far below. On that plane was a young New York Glenn Chambers. He planned to begin a ministry with the Voice of Andes, a lifelong dream that was suddenly aborted and turned into a nightmare. Before leaving the Miami airport earlier that day, Chambers hurried off in a dash, and he wrote a note to his mom on a piece of paper that he had found on the floor of the terminal. That scrap of paper was once a printed piece of advertisement with a single word sprawled across the center. That single word was "why." But between the mailing and delivery of that note, Chambers was killed. When the letter finally did arrive, there staring up at his mom was that haunting question, "why?" Of all the questions, it is the most searching, the most tormenting. No single truth removes the need to ask why. Like this one, how is it a God is too kind to do anything cruel, and how can he be too wise to make a mistake, and how can he be too deep to explain? Mrs. Chambers stopped asking why when she saw the who behind the scene. All the sounds are muffled, when we claim His absolute sovereignty in our lives. Even the deafening sound of a crashing DC-4 cannot drown out who God is to us. I hope that you join me in the broadcast tomorrow as I speak to you on the subject of when your dreams turn into a disaster. How can God take disaster and turn it into something great? So, Lord, I pray for those who are listening today. Lord, I pray that they be filled with your Spirit. I pray that they experience your grace and peace in their lives today. I pray that they will take on this endeavor to share the gospel wherever they go, whether it be through the use of their words or through random acts of kindness. We pray that they let their light shine so that others will be saved. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hickory Ridge Community Church is located at 3220 South Battlefield Boulevard, Chesapeake, Virginia. Sunday service times are at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. We'd love for you to join us. For more information, you go to our website at www.hrcc7.org. No matter what you're going through, remember, in Jesus Christ, there is always hope for your heart.